Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Heyo, welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve. How are you today? I don't know about you, but when I went to record this episode, it was a rather heavy week for me and from what I could see in our communities as well. Fortunately, I had this beauty of a human guest to look forward to who always brings sunshine and a fresh perspective on life. You know her, you love her, she's back, and this time she is celebrating her birthday with us. You may remember Lauren from my previous episode with her where she opened up about her meditation journey to becoming a meditation guide and also shared tips on habit stacking to create a consistent meditation practice. I always love my conversations with Lauren, one, because I feel like I take away something positive, and two, because I always feel like there's something that I learn from her that benefits what I'm currently working through in life. And from your feedback, it sounds like you life zesters do as well. This conversation was no different. I do want to give a little trigger warning for this episode as we do briefly discuss the current state of the pandemic we are in, but I think it's a really valuable discussion. And I know for me, our conversation gave me a bit of ease in case things shift back into where we were this time last year. Lauren shares what she and her husband are doing to work together in communicating what each of their individual needs are, as well as their needs as a family to prepare for the possibilities of what the next phase of COVID could bring. But don't worry, we also spend a lot of time focusing on the importance of celebrating life's moments, how we celebrate when times feel heavy, and Lauren answers a new round of lightning questions, this time birthday edition. What's been a valuable lesson from this last year for her? What exactly is a life level, and which one is Lauren at? Does she open the card or birthday present first? Would she rather have a surprise trip or surprise party? And what's been her favorite birthday memories? Lauren shares all this and more. Get ready to celebrate this wonderful human and top 40 spiritual podcast host of Inner Guidance Daily, Lauren Lee.
We are now.
Yeah, we're recording. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Happy birthday week.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I have to say, you're like, we're going to dinner after this. Mm-hmm. And Luke and I were putting together your birthday present last night. We also put together something for Lily because at that age, you know, you see someone else get a gift. You're like, where's mine?
Yeah, it's real.
She's fun to shop for.
Yeah.
Both of you. It is just, yeah, we have, what is this? 14 hands, unicorn, rose bubbles.
This is so good.
It's delightful.
Shout out to whoever 14 and
yeah. It's limited release, so I feel like I'm gonna have to go back to World Market and stock up.
Oh, World Market.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it comes in a can. So Travis, who helps us over here at Speak Boise, was like, wait, you can get champagne in a can?
You can.
It is. You can get it in a can. These are so nice for when you're going out on the lake.
Yes.
I mean, I'm so sad. I don't even want to talk about lake days being over, but like you can bring them, and now they have koozies that suction cup to your board.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. It's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's so cool.
I need to get a stand-up paddle board.
Yeah. Well, you got, what, a record player this year? So maybe next year you get a...
Yes.
Yeah. Or Christmas. Yeah. I mean, that way you can enjoy it for the whole Hey, Darren, because we know you're listening.
He does listen.
I know. He's on top of it. Luke, mm-hmm. I think...
is listening now.
When you do listen to this, you need another one, because then we can all go together.
It'd be so fun.
Lily would love.
She does like it. When we were in McCall, we met up with some friends, and they had some. They took us out on their pontoon boat.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. And they blew them up there when we got to like a smaller little area on so the lake. Fun. And she was gone. Like, you know, our friend's husband took her out there and she was gone for 30 minutes. She's fearless, though.
She is.
Straight up fearless. Like, she was like, get me on the tube. I want to go in there.
Oh, you guys actually went like tubing.
Tubing.
Wow.
On the paddle boards into the river, not the river, the lake. She like swam all the way out to like one of those places where there's like a dock like in the lake.
You know what I mean? That's where when we went boating last week, we like took a floating dock. It's like a square kind of. It's just random like lily pad.
Yeah. She swam out there from the shore, and I mean Darren was with her close by. Swam out there, got up there, and then just jumped in like off that thing. Whoa.
That's bold. I didn't even jump off that. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't even jump off of it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't know what's at the bottom of this.
I know. This is shallow. Do you know the Shore Lodge in McCall? Mm-hmm. So it's like off of the shore from there.
Oh, it's like that circle little, like it kind of looks like a trampoline.
It's maybe? No, it's like that concrete square you were saying.
Wait, is that? Yeah.
And it's just like off of there. Like,
did you guys stay at Shore Lodge then?
Ish.
Yeah.
We like stay there for the, like,
which is the best way to do it?
The day, basically. And then we're at an Airbnb at night.
That's the best.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So tell me, what else have you done for your birthday?
Well, it's been a very strange week. Mm. Like, I feel like I really needed a birthday celebration. Yeah. This is so selfish, but.
Not at all.
You know, the world's so heavy. Mm-hmm. So it came at a really nice time where, even though the world is so heavy, I had to like give myself permission to have fun.
Yeah.
And like be light. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a strange thing. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that, where you're like, good things are happening in the midst of all this chaos.
Yeah.
And you kind of don't let yourself enjoy them. Mm-hmm. So I was super intentional about that, that I would actually enjoy the day. And I woke up in the morning and I went for a run. It was really nice because the sun was coming up and it's like smoky here still. Yeah. So it was orange. But it's kind of nice. You can like look at it, you know, while it's coming up.
Yeah. Relatively clear skies though. Like I remember the night before that I was looking at it and I'm like, this is because Lauren's birthday is tomorrow. Aww. It's clearing out, you know? Yeah. So that's selfishly, we all needed a reason.
Oh my God. A lot of people were messaging me like, really? Hey, this is just nice to celebrate somebody. And people were sending like, you know, messages on social media, like whenever they would like, you know, say something, you know, nice, obviously for my birthday, be like, well, what's going on in your life? Yeah. You know, and people are sharing really cool things that's going on. And it's like, it's all kind of masked because we're experiencing so much chaos. So it's cool to see people's celebration too.
That's such an interesting thing that you say, like when we do have opportunities to celebrate and, you know, maybe someone else is going through a hard, because that's life, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that's going on right now, even though this is a very unique time, and the extremity of everything is intensified. At any point in life, though, you're going to have moments where, you know, someone's struggling, you want to celebrate, mm-hmm. or your life's going really well. Like, how did you, because I wonder if there's someone listening right now where, one, maybe they're on one side where they're like, I'm really struggling, but I want to celebrate that my spouse got this promotion, or I want to celebrate that my best friend, you know, got this great opportunity. Or maybe you're on the side of where you're the one who has something to celebrate and you want to find people to celebrate with, right? That's part of being a human. Like, energy is infectious. Mm-hmm. How did you allow yourself to create space to celebrate? Because you did. You look like you had the best day.
It was fun.
What do you think helped you to do that?
I think there's like a few things. And it's ironic you're even asking this question, because when I knew I was coming into this podcast, I was like, remember this topic. But we've kind of bought in, you know, from all kinds of various situations and experiences and cultural expectations that, like, we've all bought in that happiness has to happen all the time or you're a failure,
or something bad is happening, right? So it's kind of like we've bought into that is how it's supposed to be. So when we're not happy, so if I'm the person who's like not struggling, you know, I am struggling and somebody's really has something that they want me to celebrate with them, or, you know, your significant other's got an amazing opportunity, but you're the one struggling, right? Mm-hmm. So you've bought into the idea that your struggle is bad. Something's wrong with you. You shouldn't be having this. You're guilty. You know, you feel like you should be happy. And now you're like, oh, why am I not happy? And then you're like, I can't celebrate this person. So I think it's just we've bought into the idea that happiness is the status we're all supposed to be at. And when you're not, something's wrong with you. I don't know if that makes any sense. So then if you're the person who is really happy and has something to celebrate and you're noticing the world around you, right? It's on the flip side. Like we think, you know, happiness is where we're supposed to be all the time. And so then we feel guilty for being happy because somebody else is not happy, right? And this is kind of this vicious cycle. But to kind of break that down into a digestible thing that you can actually do, and it's like actionable. Again, it comes down to like setting an intention of what you want to do, right? So like if you're a whole person experiencing a whole range of emotions, and that's okay, you're buying into that idea. So if I'm in a bad place or struggling and somebody has something to celebrate, that's the wholeness, right? That's like the whole thing happening right in front of you. And so it's okay to acknowledge their joy. That's okay to do that.
Even though you yourself are not currently experiencing joy.
Yeah, because it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be stuck in grief. It's okay to be confused.
Totally.
Like, that's okay. And I think we're struggling because we don't feel like it's okay to be there, right? We have to strive to quickly get to be happy again. But, like, specifically myself, like, personally speaking, I mean, on my birthday, you know, it came like days after, you know, Afghanistan really crumbled and just this incredible amount of pain and suffering. And it feels like at that time, like it's not okay to be joyful.
Yeah.
But I learned when I had a guest on my podcast, he's a shaman, and he's also very like takes political stance, but you know, it's very inclusive of everybody. And he was like, just do the right thing in the moment, set it down, and still live your life. Like, you have to have a balance of being able to do what's right. So in that moment, like for me, it was donating, using my voice, education, right? And then being able to set it down for a moment. I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders for 24 hours all day long. And setting the intention that I'm going to 100% enjoy my life and let people love on me on my birthday. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And it is hard. I'm sure you can empathize and like feel this very similar things. I'm sure people are listening too. It's like, you want to do it in a thoughtful way, especially if you're sharing things on social media, right? You don't want to seem like you're not paying attention to the world. And also on that note, you can live a private life, you know, and that's okay.
Totally.
You don't have to share everything. Yeah. So I was just very intentional. And I think, again, it was just zeroing in on my focus of like what I wanted to experience in that day and allowing joy to be part of my life for those moments.
Wow. That's, I think, what you just touched on, and especially moving into the fall season, you know, and I think... And this is, it's a lot to talk about right now too, even teaching class this week, I showed up on Tuesday and we kind of talked about this a little bit on our drive over, but Tuesday was when like everything really hit me and especially as a woman, right? As a woman and only being able to relate to a certain extent, right? Without being in that situation. But I just remember going into that class, and it was a similar feeling that I'd felt a few times last year when things would happen, like BLM, coming back from COVID the first week, knowing the influence that you have, and also like the importance of your job. Like, that was we did a whole, you know, workshop or a whole meeting when we came back of like, your job right now is incredibly important. When you're in front of people, and you're speaking, what you're speaking on, how you're speaking to people, how you're leading people, what you're bringing into that room. Mm-hmm. And coming into that, I found myself just in a place of really trying to understand, trying to give myself space to reflect, to absorb, and to sit in it, right? So mm-hmm. what you said, we so often try to avoid, I think, what's uncomfortable and what's unpleasant, because I think that we believe that the constant needs to be happiness. And mm-hmm. if we're not happy, we need to quickly find like the easiest route to get back to happiness. And so for me, that looked like I was really intentional with my music. I was really intentional with just holding a lot of space for silence and whatever my words were, speaking words that I could let kind of like marinate mm-hmm. in that silence. But I even said during that, though, when I kind of had my thoughts formulated and I knew what I wanted to speak on, which is, you know, we talked about this in the car, but really like the importance of kindness right now, mm-hmm. like kindness is always important. I feel like I could go on so many tangents right now, but that just, it's really hard to be in a place where like you're in a role of leadership, mm-hmm. like when you're guiding your meditations and with your community that you have with Inner Guidance and Inner Rebel, it's really hard to hold that space and know that you know also that your role is really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I told him. I said, I knew when I showed up today that it was going to be really hard for me to teach.
Yeah.
But I also knew it was really important, because you're in a space where you're bringing people together, which I think is something you do so well. And I think that's why people wanted to celebrate you. And they found that that was such a, a momentary just pause for them to breathe and to be aware that, you know, whatever's going on right now, I would like to believe that it will not be like this forever. Even though the last couple of years feel like this is just
so hard.
Yeah. So I think where I'm going with that is, you know, for those who are kind of in this pattern of, you know, discomfort, unhappiness, pain, suffering, with very like momentary bursts maybe of happiness or joy, or even just like contentment. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say to someone who's like, man, I'm just in this pattern of unhappiness?
Yeah.
And that's a lot. That's a lot. So if you need to sit on it a bit, I totally get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can apply some principles from meditation and like stuff like that that I've learned along the way. But I think one of the biggest pieces and often missing pieces of our culture, of a lot of conversations, of a lot of spaces, of a lot of leaders, is vulnerability and being honest. Mm-hmm. And if everybody's trying to hold it together and pretend that they're holding it together, there's this pressure to hold it together.
Totally.
Right? So I think as often and as comfortable as you are with being open and honest and forthcoming with how you truly are feeling in every moment, like that is a gift you're giving other people and to yourself. And if it's not if you're not doing it to your significant other, I highly recommend paying somebody like a therapist where you can be completely yourself, no holds bar, you know, you're letting everything come out.
Yeah.
We're human, we want to connect, we want to express, we want to be creative. Like, so I think that that's really important. So if you're somebody who is really feeling a lot of grief and a lot of struggle and a lot of pain and it's continuous and it's ongoing, my suggestion is to really take care of yourself and really seek help, like legit. You know, therapy is normal. Mm-hmm. We all need it to some extent. And so if it's not therapy or it's a good friend or it's somebody you're expressing what's going on in your mind and your soul and in your body. Some of the gifts that meditation has been able to give me, and I know you know this too, and I've seen it happen for other people, and it's just literally becoming aware of the space you're creating in your mind, you know, like what thoughts are happening. And it's from a place of awareness, not attachment, so that if you are curious enough to just sit back in meditation and just watch the mind, you can notice some things that are happening. And from there, it gives you a little bit different perspective and a little bit more vantage point to say, I'm not in that moment. I'm not in that pain. I'm a little bit on the side, and it also allows you some freedom, right? To detach from that pain. Yeah, and it's very complex, I think, sometimes in people's situations. But meditation has served me a lot in terms of being able to make peace mm-hmm. with my own mind, my own pains, my own griefs, my own struggle. And I would say anybody who's listening who is currently in that space where it's just like so hard and really, you know, a place of struggle, that, like you said, it's not forever. It is not forever. And just remember, there is going to be a break. There is going to be a crack. There will be a moment where you can breathe and you can move on with your life. But there are some serious, serious pains in the world. So I can't, I don't know if I am qualified enough to speak, you know, on some of the really serious things that are happening.
Yeah. Well, and something that I saw too, somebody had posted, I think people are really, what I'm noticing is different this go around, and I know this is a different situation, but still, I think pain is pain, suffering is suffering. Not to say that, you know, one situation isn't more extreme than the other, but the sensation itself mm-hmm. is you know, just pain is uncomfortable. And what I'm noticing is different about this go around is you're seeing less, I think, of people being really active on social media, because I think they realize I think last summer was when this just felt really heightened mm-hmm. again with the protests and just everything going on politically, and that what you're seeing right now is a lot more focus on what can we do for our mental health? What can we do when we're not the ones who are totally in control of this, right? Like, you can contribute, like you said, you can donate your time, you can research, you can look into resources. If you're, I say this on a very like fine line, but if you're qualified to educate in certain areas where I would say like you are qualified to talk on times where you're feeling uncomfortable, times where you're in this spiral of just unhappiness and pain. But the posts that I'm seeing though are a lot more of like let's get back to taking care of ourselves. Let's get back to taking care of each other, because that's how we're going to get through this when we don't have the answers. And this one said something like, instead of using self-care as a band-aid, giving yourself the space to actually work through some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So self-care is really important, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when I think self-care, I think meditation, but I also think like go get a massage, or like go get my nails done, or mm-hmm. go read a book. But sometimes I think that we can mask our emotions with that form of self-care mm-hmm. instead of using meditation or using therapy to really talk through, think through what's going on. Why am I feeling this way? Why does it upset me this week with everything going mm-hmm. on and all these, you know, women coming out with these, you know, their stories and what's happening? You know, why does that hurt me, instead of just being like, this hurts, what's going to make me feel better in this moment?
Yeah. I totally agree with you. We have to recognize that we're overwhelmed.
Totally.
And you have to give yourself the time to process like everything that's going on. And the thing that we're faced with is that, especially with social media, is that it's constant and that it's changing very fast. So one situation may come forward and you're like, oh my God, that's extremely overwhelming to me. Then another one and another one and another one. And truly, I mean, we're not of service to anybody if we're depleted, depressed, and and, you know, down. So you have to make yourself a priority. And it's not selfish. So like, back to, you know, saying like, how can you on your birthday amidst all this chaos still celebrate? It's because it's part of self-care to just literally in your life, wherever you are, with whatever you can, it's allowing yourself self-care. Like, you have to take care of yourself in these moments. And if our situations were different, you know, if we were in different situations, not here on this chair and this podcast, we'd be preaching the same thing, and preaching is a terrible word, but like, I would still be taking care of myself in the best way possible that I could.
So let me ask you this then, because I think that, again, we drove over here together, so we got to kind of have this conversation, you know, just out of curiosity. And honestly, I don't think either of us thought the conversation was going to go this way, because this is not what we thought we were going to talk on. But I think that this is what people need to hear right now.
Yeah.
And if I'm thinking ahead, which has been really hard for me, because you know, normally I'm not naive or I don't lead with blind optimism. But I think for the last couple of weeks, I've kind of been in this like blind optimistic state because of fear of if I allow myself to really be honest and let myself come to reality. The future is a little fearful for me, mm-hmm. Just seeing some of the patterns we're going into. But I think that that can allow us to prepare. And I loved what you said. You were talking a little bit about what you and your husband, Darren, are doing to prepare for what's ahead of us. And it's not to, you know, I want to say this because I think right now for people who are listening, they're like, oh, shoot, I don't want to think about it. And I get that. Mm-hmm. And I'm there with you. But also, what would it be like if we could have last year been able to prepare a little bit better? I mean, at all, mm-hmm. you know, for our mental health, for the health of our relationships, mm-hmm. because you've seen how many divorces?
So many.
I was just talking to another friend today who's getting divorced, and it's like,
these are the most trying times.
They're so trying. And not to say, you know, there's other factors that play into this too, right? There's so many other factors, but I think that when you are in these places where you're very vulnerable, you're very raw, you're very hurt, it amplifies those situations that maybe in a different time wouldn't have seemed as, I don't know, as dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for people who are now like, okay, that, and I actually want to switch this for a second because I think that's really empowering because you're taking the power into your hands now of what you can control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the factors that you guys have identified that you can control that you're preparing for this new season just in case things go in a direction where we've been maybe more familiar with in the mm-hmm. last year?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Like this time around, pandemic related, you know, like if we are more restricted or we have close to or maybe we do have lockdowns, who knows what's going to happen with everything that's going on, right? And everybody's wondering and everybody's trying to prepare and some people want to stick their head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah.
But the truth is it's here, it's happening. And one of the most great things that we have going for us is that we have been through it again, to your point.
This time there's kind of a playbook.
We do have, we understand at least how could this happen? How could this go? What mm-hmm. is it going to do to affect me? Or how is it going to affect me? So me and my husband were just talking, you know, he was telling me expressing. And also, I just want to say, like, you have to be, if you're in a partnership or even a friendship, right? And you are expressing yourself about these times to somebody else, you have to take in consideration the capacity that person may have to receive that or even be a soundboard for that information.
Yes.
Because we are all at our cap max point, perhaps, right? So like Darren and I know, like we have like a hall pass, if you will, for lack of a better term, but to be like, it's definitely not a hall pass, but it's like saying like, hey, today I just can't.
Don't have the capacity.
Yeah. It's like, give me maybe 30 minutes of meditation.
Yeah.
And then I can clear my own head and I can have space for you to just vent, tell me everything that's going on. So just sidebar to just be really aware of somebody else's state of being and before you unload a bunch of stuff when you're you know, in a partnership or even a friendship or a business partner or
that's really
on
important.
Social media, whatever, right? He was venting, you know, about everything that's going on politically, pandemic, Afghanistan, the world, what's going to happen, you know, all the kinds of things that we think about. And so I was like, let's just be real about this. And we have to manage our stress. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so blah, 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 basically. I don't know how else to describe it, to be like, I'm going to have a stress management strategy. Like, it sounds very like blah.
It sounds like a course that if you were to tell me like $35 on your own, I would buy into it.
Yeah. Well, we all need a stress management strategy.
Well, at any point in your life, just right now, at any point, if you don't currently know how to identify how to manage your stress, like this is a great opportunity to lean into that.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta be your self-advocate, you know, you got to do the best you can for yourself. So a strategy for stress management is really key. I really honestly, truly believe that. And so I just said, like, look, we need to identify exactly, like, write down three things, five things, whatever it is. What do you need to survive this winter mentally?
Yeah.
What do you need? What are the top three things that, like, are like, I need this? For me, it would be space. I need space. I need creativity. I need to be able to still express myself and be creative and have some sort of freedom, mm-hmm. right? So if it's not freedom outdoors or freedom with whatever, travel, I have some way of having that expression or creativity or something new. Those are just some two ideas. But basically, it lets you and your partner know. Same thing can happen in a business environment. Like, what do you need to be successful during this time and manage your stress? And as cheesy as it sounds and as corny as it is to actually write these things down and have the conversation, it really is a game changer. And then on top of that, we have a 4.5-year-old. So it's doing the best we can to make guesses in terms of what does she need to be okay during these times mentally, physically, and making sure that we can provide those. And the other thing was I was telling you was just to have some phrases for kids, you know, any age, but for us, she's 4.5. So making sure that we have like phrases of how we can explain the situation that we're going through, because in 2020, we didn't necessarily have the time to pre-think that. That was happening on the fly. And we were kind of gathering information of like, how do I explain this to her? So yes, those are things that we're thinking about. And it makes you feel like I can do this.
Yeah,
I can do this. And I'm going to be okay. The you're planning for as much as you can.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps at all.
No, I think that's really helpful. And I really like what you said in writing it down, right? Same thing as like your goals holds you accountable.
Yeah.
Puts it out there.
Yeah.
Do you feel because of this, because of your preparation, right? Making a plan, taking control of what is within your control. Do you feel differently going into this season than you did this time last year?
Yes.
How so?
Yes. I feel a little bit more prepared, mm-hmm. feel a little less scared. I feel like I have a little bit more understanding of how we can make it work, right, in a home. And I think just living through a pandemic one time around, that you have this notch on your belts, like some knowledge that you can pull from, knowing that like you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. Do you feel differently this time around?
I don't think I've given, so here I'm talking about the importance of like giving yourself self space to sit in it. And I don't think I've given myself enough space right now to really sit in it. Luke and I haven't really, you know, created this stress management system.
I know, it sounds so stupid.
No, I love it. I love it. And he and I have been really big on, you know, I will say this, I feel different in my relationship with Luke going into this.
Okay.
And that's huge because that's who you're spending so much time with.
You're stuck with him.
We are stuck together, honey. And I think that is a sense of calm for me because last year I just felt all over. And I feel a lot more different in my body and different in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel, and this too, you said like you feel like in the last year you've aged like 100 years or
whatever. 100 years, yeah.
I feel more like emotionally mature and emotionally intelligent. And so I do. I feel different.
Yeah.
I think I still need space to kind of figure this out.
Yeah.
But
well, I think also one of the benefits that we can look at, 2020, incredibly hard and stressful and all the things that came with it, but we are wiser.
Yeah.
Oh, in totally. A lot of ways.
Oh my gosh, so much so.
We learned a lot.
I mean, what a difficult way to have to figure that out, but
we're
I
wiser.
Agree with you.
Yeah, so you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
Like the famous quote from Maya Angelou.
I love Maya Angelou.
I mean,
she's the best.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then, going into 38, what are you most looking forward to about this year?
You know, usually every year I set a word for the year.
On your birthday or
on
for
my
like
birthday.
The new year? I love that.
Yes.
What's your word?
So actually I was thinking about it when I was walking and this year it's just truth. I know it sounds very, you know, something like I would say, but truth because I don't know. It just felt like the right thing. Like true in who what I say and who I'm around and what I do, and truth just felt like the right word.
Yeah. So,
truth is the word.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you took away what you needed to from your word from last year?
I unfortunately wrote it down somewhere and now I don't know like what I think it was
in the whirlwind of everything.
I think it was something about like ground anchor something.
Yes.
Something
we had a conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was something around that. But I mean, honestly, my feet flew up over my head when the pandemic started, and
that was probably the word. My word last year was grounding.
Yeah.
Because I think we had a conversation on this and you talked about that.
Yeah. So I do think I learned a lot about keeping myself planted on the earth and like keeping a sense of calm in the midst of all this chaos. And I really owe this all to meditation and just being able to understand my own mind.
What are you most looking forward to about being 38?
38 is kind of a sweet age because it's like 39 is so close to 40, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're at the edge of the island, kind of. but 38, it just feels very like I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I am unapologetic about it, which has been a long journey. I'm sure you can understand that. And a lot of people listening can understand that. And it just feels like the best is yet to come.
I love that. I think it's going to be a really good year for you.
I hope so.
I want to ask you, I put together some lightning round birthday questions.
I do like lightning rounds. Yes.
I love lightning rounds. Okay. Okay. So you already answered a couple of those questions, but what has been one of, or some of your favorite birthdays?
Favorite birthdays. I have to think when I turned 30, that was a good birthday. I really celebrated. To be honest with you, up until I was 30, I really skirted around my birthday.
Really?
Yeah. I never really was like, ooh, celebrate me, celebrate me. Yeah. I felt very uncomfortable with it for various reasons. So 30, I just really parked all of that and said like, no, absolutely. Like, you're all going to come and you're all going to celebrate me. Yeah. It was the first time that my mom and my mom and dad are divorced. Mm-hmm. So it was the first time that my dad and his girlfriend, basically his wife, all three of them were together in the same room. It was my 30th birthday.
Wow.
And they had been together, my dad and his girlfriend, for a long time, but you know, family, how family do. So that was a memorable moment. I'm trying to think what else. 21,
yeah,
was a memorable birthday because I was, you know,
yeah,
I could go and
where were you when you're
a free
21?
Lady. I was in Chicago and at, you know, no other than a club.
Yeah.
And just very, very happy that I was there illegally and celebrating my birthday.
And were you just surrounded by some of your favorite people or?
I definitely had an eclectic mix of people that were around me.
Do you still talk to any of them?
A few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. A few. Yeah. And it was just a fun moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. 21 is memorable just because it's 20.
Or for some, maybe it's not as memorable.
True. True. True.
Yeah.
I do remember it. So.
Then I feel like your 21st should be memorable.
You just remember some of it, right?
Yeah. I remember I'd wore like a new Jessica Simpson. It was when like Jessica Simpson came out with her new line, mm-hmm. and I had Jessica Simpson pumps on, which I learned very quickly not to wear pumps to the club.
Oh.
But I like stained my new shirt.
No.
It's like a Forever 21 top, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it stands out.
Yeah, 21.
What's been your favorite life level?
What's that mean?
I think because I used to work with an older clientele, I stopped asking them like what age they were turning or. So then someone said to me like they're like Mario levels. So now I've referred to them as life levels.
Oh.
So no one gets offended if I'm like, what life level are you turning?
First of all, women should not get offended about their age.
I know.
Right?
Well, but it sounds cool if you're like, I'm at level 47. You know, like you've like mastered all these, like you've beat all these other levels, like Mario style, jumped up, like hit the gold star.
Oh.
You know?
Okay. I kind of like that. That's cool.
I mean, I think the age is just a number, but you turn to levels, it sounds fun.
Well, you know what? It's a funny story about age. So Darren is younger than me. He's 33.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were at this little music thing at the Botanical Gardens, and we ran into a friend, and they were like, oh, it's Lauren's. He was like, oh, it's Lauren's birthday. It's his friend. And, you know, he was like, or she was like, how old are you turning? And I'm like, 38. And she was like, 38. You don't look 30. You know, all those things that we think and say. And
I take it she was younger.
Older.
Older.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of, you know, you say things unconsciously. And so she was like, well, how old are you, Darren? Like, you know, and he was like, oh, 33. And she went on for like a long time thinking like he was pulling her chain, that like it wasn't factual. And she was like, you know, just couldn't, like, just like, oh my God, you're younger. And like the whole thing that goes along with like a younger guy, older woman. And my mom, who is 78, who gives no F's, was like, well, that's rude.
I want to meet your mom. I want to meet your mom.
So, yeah. So, and then she was like, wow, you know, but my favorite level.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like, like 20s, 30s, or it's like the age.
The age, yeah. So since I know you're not offended by it, what's the favorite age you've been?
They kind of all blend together. I like kind of have a bad memory, I think.
Yeah. Same here.
You do?
Like a few years stand out.
What's your favorite age level? Age level.
I don't know. I think 25 was a really good year.
That stands out.
It was a really like... I remember I celebrated, it was the year that I was getting ready to leave New York to go to Bali.
Oh.
And I just quit my like corporate job and
like F them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was so like, not sour, just really spicy.
Yeah.
And for my 25th, okay, I'll have to post a story when this comes out, but, or a picture. There's a picture of us, and it was me, my roommate, my New York City soulmate, Cece, mm-hmm. And a guy who we knew in New York, and maybe one more person, but we all made shirts, and they had to have buns, like buns, like cheek buns, in the phrase. So it was like, oh my gosh, what were they like? Hot. I'll have to look at them. They were so funny, like sweet buns, and then it was. Not your bun. I'll have to post the picture, but there's a picture of us and we're all like posing. It's in the dark. And we went out to Queens, or like the end of Brooklyn, actually.
Yeah.
And it was a neon glow run.
Oh, fun.
And I just remember like one of my roommates. So one of my, Cece was super into fitness. That's like how we met each other. Super fitness. One of my other roommates did not like running.
Yeah.
But she did it anyways. And I was so thankful for her. And... Oh, and Allie did it too. And Allie worked with me. She was in PR for prevention. She's now in Austin. She's so cool.
Oh, cool.
But it was just like, it was like a 3-mile run. And I just remember we were taking shots in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Underneath the bathroom what stall, like passing shots to each other. And like we'd glow paint all over us.
It
was just a cool birthday. Yeah. And I think when you like have friends who really show up for you that way, that's the birthdays that have stood out to me. Like mm-hmm. this year was the same thing. Like I had people who just, like you were one of them, just made me feel so loved.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah.
So I think 25
was a good level.
And 27. I feel 27? Like everyone, how was 27 for you?
I'm not sure if I remember.
I feel like everyone says it's a good year. So I feel like I just remember as like, this was actually, I think 27 for me was not awesome because I think not I moved awesome. Home that year.
Oh, okay.
Or the year, that was like my second year moving home.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But everyone says it's a good year. So I think I like just associate with that.
That it's good.
Yeah, that must have been a good year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's so much that packs into a year, mm-hmm. right? And there's so much, like, I feel like age is really important for like a large part of your life. And then you're like, meh.
Oh, well, I think that's why it all blurs together, right? Yeah. Like, I was trying to think through some birthdays. So every year I write a birthday letter to myself
for
the next
year
for me to open.
Oh, I love
that. When I say every
year,
I mean this is my third year.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you get to reflect on the things that you've
done
this year.
You write it for the future you.
Yeah. And then this year I bought myself a gift too.
Oh.
And I already forgot what I got myself.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a month ago.
Wait, do you put the letter away and then you open it? Yeah. Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
This is fun. You should do that.
Yeah, you should.
I get excited because I'm like, slow your words. But
I would love that idea. I love it. I love it. So it's writing a future letter to yourself. I love that.
Yeah. And just talking about like all the things you did this year that you're really proud of and what you're most looking forward to this year. And, and I like to preface it with like, no pressure, but like this year I really, like I'm putting the intention that this is happening for you and that when you read this, like you are happy. And
so
like,
when you read your letter from last year, did a lot of these things manifest and come forward?
So last year I didn't write a letter.
Okay, okay.
Last year was a really bad birthday and I couldn't even get myself to write a letter.
Really?
So So I think I didn't want to like send that negative all the way.
Yeah.
All the way to the next year.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to read the letter this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me.
What would you tell next year you?
What would I tell her? I would tell her, I think I would just say, everything's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're hustling so much and you're putting this pressure on to, you know, really establish yourself as a meditation teacher and everything's going to be just
going to be okay.
Fine. Yes. And just to enjoy your life and, to really just continue to, show up, continue to like know yourself on a deeper level so you can continue to show up for your daughter, you know, as she's getting older, the stakes are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting, and I think a lot of parents can definitely understand that.
When you're so present in Lily's life, that makes sense. When's her birthday?
She's February 9th.
That's right.
She's very excited to be 5.
Is she?
Yeah.
5's a great year. I mean, I don't remember, but I feel like it was really good.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting that age becomes a thing.
Oh, totally.
Early.
And like halves. Like,
yeah.
I'm 4.5. Yes. I'm 4.25. Yeah.
She says 4.5 now.
Yeah.
So I even talking about birthdays and stuff, I'm wondering, do we put that pressure on? Like, how
when
old
does
are you?
That get
oh,
learned.
Your birthday. Oh, your birthday's next. Mm-hmm. Like, then it like reinforces, like, this is something I should be paying attention to. Yeah. It's a mile marker for my life. And
she just turned 4.5.
Yeah. In August. Yeah.
Perfect. Then the gift will totally make sense.
Aww.
Okay, a couple more questions for you. Do you open the card or the present first?
The card. I'm a card girl.
You are a card girl.
Yes.
I think I got 3 cards from you. And this year I really started purging my cards.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get rid of yours.
Yay.
They're the best. I have them on our kitchen counter still. Cake or cupcakes?
Cake.
Yeah, what kind of cake?
Last night we had chocolate mousse cake.
Ooh.
It was yummy.
Yeah. Ah, delicious.
Yeah.
Big party or intimate settings?
I really value like intimate, like, you know, closeness, like people you know, not just like this huge party with people like you don't know and you can't connect to. But one day when the world is maybe a little bit more free and a little less scary, I would love to just have a big freaking party.
Yeah.
Like in Greece or something, even though Greece is burning. So
can I go?
100%. You're like guest number one.
Yeah. I'm like learning this year. I'm like, ask for the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want to come.
I would love. You're there.
Well, you're in. I'm in. We're going to Greece.
Yes.
Heard it here first. And we're putting it out there.
Yeah.
This time next year, we'll be able to be in Greece.
Or Bali.
I
would love to travel to Bali.
Bali's
with you.
Magical. But I've also heard Greece is magical.
Yeah. Anywhere. But.
Anywhere we can get to. Surprise trip or surprise party?
Surprise trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I like to be part. You know what? I like to be part of planning, but Luke did a really nice. I knew where we were going, but I didn't know everything we were going to do.
Is this in Mexico?
No, this was, I want to say my 30th birthday. This is my 30th birthday. We went to Banff. And we saw Tony Robbins speak in Calgary. And then he like planned. He did a really good job, actually.
Aww.
He did. I don't know why I said actually. He's really thoughtful. But surprises, he usually can't keep a surprise. Like
it's
he's
hard.
Already told me what he's going to get me for Christmas. Like, oh my gosh. But
it's
it was a day at one of their like yoga studios where they also did Reiki. they might have done Reiki actually. And then they do like a guided meditation with you guys together. It's like very intimate.
Oh,
and then they do like couples
cool.
massages. It was really, and especially for him, because we hadn't started meditating together at that point yet. Like he would occasionally come to my yoga classes. I think that was his first time of really like getting a massage. Mm-hmm. I think he'd had maybe a massage before, but
at really dinner tonight, I want to remind us okay. to tell you a story when Darren got his like first massage in Mexico.
I can't wait. We can compare stories. Luke fell asleep during his massage. It was like a 90 minute though. That's a nap.
Yeah.
Anything past 60 minutes, you're passing out.
Yeah. It's really hard to stay awake for sure.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to hear.
Oh God.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's a funny one.
Well, hey, thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
Cheers. I'm so excited to celebrate you tonight.
Yay. Me too.
And you're going to be on here again.
I hope so.
Yeah. We decide like this has to be a regular thing. You are so insightful and people just love you so much. So I hope you've had a wonderful birthday. And
thank you.
I can't wait for the celebration to continue.
Me too. Thank you for inviting me on. It's like, honestly, I wanted to do this so bad. As you know, today I was like, this will happen.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth. And click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.